AVD, it's a columnist, hip-hop, is the host of Hard Rock Radio on KPFA, has a very large political hip-hop website, davyd.com. He's also a former employee of Clear Channel. I was fired. It gives me great pleasure to welcome to you all Davy D.
First, I want to thank you all for having me up here and being able to holler at you for a couple of minutes. My background is media in the sense that, you know, I work at KPFA. I've been there for about 12 years. Also have the privilege of working for KMEL at a time when, at least for us at that station, it was a magical type of station where we could actually kind of do what I was doing on the college and community stations over there. Say what I want, play what I want, reach an audience that I want, and do some very progressive things, which became the cookie cutter for a lot of radio stations around the country. Unfortunately, as time progressed and media consolidation came in and original owners were no longer there and the bottom line became the end all, things changed, just as we are all experiencing them. The bottom line became very important, and even your political affiliations and how you put things out there became important. And so I don't have to go over the whole problem that we're dealing with within consolidation, but I think I would want to focus on some of the things that we may possibly start to examine. To me, one of the things I learned about in commercial radio is that there's a science to reaching people and being able to engage them and being able to do like Rakim, the hip-hop artist extraordinaire, said, move the crowd. And I'm always of the opinion, he who moves the crowd wins the game. He who grabs the mic sets the tune. He who plays the tune determines the dance. And so I look out there, and even though we have a large gathering of people here, there are many neighborhoods and many people that I deal with in a hip-hop arena in my Oakland neighborhood that don't know anything about this and unfortunately have brought into or just been lulled to sleep and just go along with what's happening, what's being presented. Chuck D once remarked that in some communities, people are so married to the images that are presented to them day in and day out. And especially in some communities where you only have one radio station or two TV stations, that's all you have, man. It's like, I'm happy to see anybody who looks like me on the TV. So good, bad, ugly, smart, or intelligent, I'm just going to roll with them, listen to them, and embrace them because it's the closest thing I have that looks like me, sounds like me, and may even come from the same places as me. And so when you understand that, which I know commercial media does, then you have a very difficult task in terms of weaning a lot of people off of things that I think will lead them in the wrong direction. And so what we've seen over the past year is the concept of being able to grab the mic, being reserved for the rich and powerful and those with a particular point of view. That's something that we all have to deal with. Above and beyond the people in this room is the people that aren't in this room, because the way things are, we've been languaged and we've been put in a way, we've been depicted in a way that's made us seem unattractive. Oh, you're one of those left-leaning Berkeley liberals. That's bad news in a lot of circles. You're from the hippie generation, out of step and out of touch. So when they even talk about this gathering, they usually use those type of adjectives, and people who, the very people that you may even want to help, buy into it. It's like, yeah, I heard about those protesters going up there trying to shut down the radio stuff. They're doing all this protest, and I don't know why. So we have a lot of challenges in front of us. We have a challenge to change the damage that the machine, the media machine, the corporate media machine is doing. And we also have a challenge to build up our own institutions in such a way that they can never be compromised or undermined again. So how do we do that? Understand that, well, at least with radio, A lot of times it's all about smoke and mirrors. That's how one of my bosses, who is voted several years one of the best in the business, sat down and said, "Dave, this is all about smoke and mirrors. Create the illusion, people will buy into it." So when you open up the mic, you say the call letters. When you close the mic, you repeat the call letters. So all you have to do is go to any school in the Bay Area and say, "What station jams?" And people who don't even listen to the station knows it's KMEL. What's your party station? You don't listen to the station, you know it's the sister station, KYLD. We have to understand that, because in order to reach some of the people, we have to understand the science of smoke and mirrors. We have to understand how to create what we're doing and make it seem bigger than life, just like our commercial counterparts. Otherwise, we'll just be spitting in the wind, and they will continue to play smoke and mirrors with some of the good work that we do and make it seem like it's not worth anything. Radio has learned the art of what I call emotional cord string plucking. Very serious concept. You know, if there's a tragedy, we want to be the radio station that makes you feel good. So let's give you a bunch of money and do a fundraise on the air for the homeless mother who got kicked out the house. Don't really give a damn about the homeless mother, but it gets us ratings. 9/11 happened, my boss called up and wanted to know where there's a candlelight visual. Not because people were really concerned, but they wanted to make sure that we could say we were there. And as shallow as that sounds, you'd be very surprised to how many people would buy into it. You guys were out there with candlelights. You really care. And so we have to understand this is what the landscape is about. Emotional cord string plucking you see going on in the media now, where we play up on people's fears. Don't talk to those people. They're subversive. Don't talk to those people. They're undermining the government. Don't talk to those people. They might be breaking bread with terrorists. And people who have gone through some sort of horror and then have it replayed over and over and over and over again in their favorite sources of information, whether it's TV, BET, or the local station or whatever, they buy into that. And so once you understand that people will react to that, then you can move them in a particular direction. So we have to deal with that as well. And then finally, we also have to be aware that radio has perfected the science of omission. Omission meaning that they can omit things and you only realize they've been omitted when it's pointed out. For example, when I was with KMEL, the Clear Channel station, we put dozens of ads up on every billboard that you could find to say, "Donate to the Clear Channel Relief Fund." I mean, it's something that everybody was doing. It seemed like a noble thing. Why not? I mean, people had their emotions out there. Do the patriotic thing, the American flag flying about on these billboards. But it was only when you started to point out, said, you know, on March 5th, there was not one billboard to tell you to vote. That's the science of omission. You don't realize it. Oh, man, you know what? That's right, they didn't do that. So is it no mistake that 26% of the people even bothered to go to the polls? And you point out, no candidate got to go on any of the 12 stations. You know, and then you go, yeah, that's right, I didn't realize that. So the science of omission, you do things real subtly and you make it seem like I'm your friend. And at the same time, it's like I'm being friends with the parent while I'm poisoning the kid. You know, and that's something that's real. The corporate media clearly understands and has excelled in understanding the emotional makeup of various segments of society. That's something that we have to do. How do we do that? We would have one station, the people that listen to it that are on the younger end, especially if you're black and Latino, people know, okay, people like to feel like they're part of something. So you never tell the KMEL audience that the KYLD audience, the one that reaches the black community and the one that's targeted for the Latino community, you never tell the two communities that they're the same people programming the same station, that they're in the same building, and that the DJs who may pretend to fight on air actually see each other and give each other hugs and pounds as they go on and off. So you go to a high school and you got kids claiming stations like they might claim gangs. And you got people going, that's all right, as long as they listen to one of the two. And you do have the one and two stations being those stations. Meanwhile, mom is at home talking about, I don't like all this hip-hop and dance stuff and all this whoop-de-whoop music that you listen to, so I'm turning on the other station where they don't play none of that rap stuff. Well, Mom, the KISS station or the KKSF station you listen to with the smooth music is still programmed by the same people, owned by the same folks in the same building. But you get everybody not thinking that because they understand the science of keeping people divided. Meanwhile, you got the white folks over there going, well, I don't listen to any of that music. All that ghetto music, I don't listen to that. I'm going to turn it into Star 103. Oh, guess what? They're in the same building, too. And so, one of the things that we have to do is be aware of what goes on in our own community so we can demystify it to people. When I tell people that the two stations are on, they're like, no, I didn't know that. Or when I tell them that the DJs that they hear aren't even in town. Oh, I didn't know that. You have to be aware of media. Media is no longer a situation where you can just sit back and passively engage yourself in just listening to it. Most people will do that, but people in this room have to step it up and have to be aware of it. Not just the media that you like, but the media that's around you. You have to be as familiar with it as the people who program it. George Bush said that one of the weapons they were going to use in a war on terrorism was media manipulation. If he said he can use it abroad, why wouldn't it not be used here? So you have to be aware of that. Now, one of the things that's happened over the past year is a lot of people in commercial media, in my opinion, you know, I can't prove it per se, but it doesn't matter. It's my opinion. I think it makes sense, is that everybody seems to know how to play their position. What does the position mean? Okay, you get somebody like Bill Maher. He goes on his television show. He makes a little remark that somebody doesn't like. Some yahoo in Texas doesn't even watch the show, but he gets wind of it, and he goes on the warpath and uses his privilege of being on the air to drum up a crusade that eventually leads in Bill Maher being dismissed. You say something about George W. down there, you got three people on the talk station around the corner that are ready to lambast you. So if you happen to be in the newspaper, all of a sudden they can discredit you, discredit your march, discredit your organizations. So you got people that's always in these positions. So when you say A, they're saying B. So we have to return that in kind. We have to play our positions accordingly. Playing our positions means going above and beyond the choir. Playing our position means that if you're a writer and you see something that's being depicted wrong, nobody else can write that letter and set the record straight other than you. That's got to be your job. If you're an organization, you have to have somebody in that organization that truly understands the ins and outs of media. So you know how to slip in a message. You know who to befriend. You know which DJ on which station can actually get some information out to the public. You also know how to speak when you're in front of certain cameras. How many times have I seen people play into the stereotypes that have already been resurrected about them? So if I'm in a situation, I'm going to take off the tie-dye shirt if I got to go on TV, put on a suit and tie and look just like them and have a different message. So people go, he looks like us, sounds like us, but he has something different. For example, when I was doing these interviews with newspapers around the country after this infamous interview I did with Congresswoman Barbara Lee, one of the newspapers, one of the major national newspapers raised this situation, this question about, well, are you patriotic? Now, you know, that's a serious question. So a media savvy person like myself is going to understand how to play that. Hell yeah, I'm patriotic. I got a flag in my window and on the back of my car, and I put it on there because I know they checked them out, and it sits there. But then you get a chance to remove this distraction question of patriotism. Same thing, right? But you get a chance to remove that as a distraction. And now you can redefine what it means. Yeah, I'm patriotic. I vote in every election. Some of these yahoos with flags never voted. Never been down to City Hall. Don't know their mayor. Never wrote a letter. And in fact, I'm so patriotic, I think we should pull in our belt buckles and make sure that everybody's employed, so don't fire them like the airline workers. I mean, you know, this is how you redefine what it means. But some people, even in our crowd, was like, why you put the flag on the back of your car? Well, you know, because I need to get to some audiences, and that becomes a distraction. Dress the part and say something different. Get your foot in the door. That's important. That's just called media strategy. Somebody on the commercial end, they would dress just like you and sit in the back of the room and disrupt this whole proceeding. Sit in the back of the room and might write something negative about it, and you wouldn't even know. They all look like us, but no, it was the one guy that had the different agenda. So we have to be aware that if they do it to us, you could do it to them. Last couple of points. Shoot for the stars. I mean, these airwaves are supposed to be for the people. Act like it. For example, what I mean by that, if you feel the local radio station is not doing the job, round up 100 people and go to every event for a week and disrupt it. Go up there and sit down and say, we want to have a meeting with the program director and we want a public affairs show at 9 o'clock at night every night. You got to make those demands, but also remember how you might be perceived. If you happen to have the look of the suburban wife in Concord somewhere, they might go, well, that's the audience we want. We better listen to Mrs. Jones. Play the part. If you happen to look like you could be the stockbroker with lots of disposable income, show up with that look and say, I think you guys need to change up a little and make sure that we have these type of opinions represented on these mediums. Play that position. There's nothing wrong with it. What do you have to lose? We're already getting our asses kicked in terms of how many people are getting dumbed down. Not us personally, but a lot of people are being dumbed down, so we got to wake them up. So lastly, and this is my last point, champion the outlets and mediums that are doing the work. Use the attention-getting techniques that others use to get work. When I drive around the Bay Area, I think people that work or listen to KPFA don't realize how powerful it is when you see a bunch of bumper stickers. You're driving down and think, damn, I see another bumper sticker on a car. See a bumper sticker on a car. It gives the illusion after a while that, man, everybody's listening to this. Know how to reference some of this. If Amy says something good and you get a chance to write about it because you work at an independent medium or something, reference this. Put them in the same mix as you would anything else. Ted Koppel said this. Amy Goodman said that. Davey D said this. Raise up the people that surround you so that they're on the same level as these so-called experts, because all these experts are manufactured individuals anyway. Lastly, learn how to build bridges. Building bridges means thinking outside the box. It's something commercial radio learned to have to do. I remember when Top 40 Radio avoided playing hip-hop and realized, you know, if we think outside the box, we can actually make this something to work for us. That was thinking out the box 10 years ago. Thinking out the box. If you have some information and you know there's a million websites out there that don't have time to write all the content, befriend them. Send them an email. Say, I got some information that you might want to use and put up on your site, because the name of the game is disseminating information in as many arenas as you can. If you have some sort of perspective or some sort of understanding, figure out ways to engage people in a way that would make sense to them. Maybe you exchange something if there's a black newspaper in town and a progressive newspaper in town. See what sort of synergy y'all can find with one another to share information, perspectives, or just, you know, make sure that everybody's on the same page. These are things that we got to constantly do, because media, at the end of the day, comes down to one thing. It's all about communication. And the best communication is the one-on-one type of communication, and it's communication that really says that I care about you, you, and you, and I really, really care above and beyond what sort of money and what sort of ratings I can get. Always remember that and take those type of actions with that in mind. I think we'll win. So thank you very much. I hope it made sense.